For life. Yo, 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 what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It is I, your mother's favorite podcaster, the current reigning defending Bulletcast podcast champion. In a couple of weeks, I'm walking into the biggest WrestleMania of all time, and I'm walking out and still am the final Bulletcast podcast champion, the microphone messiah. But of course, I am joined by the former Bulletcast podcast champion, the Canadian Destroyer, BT, Brandon Tanguma. Brandon, are you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
The story's not going to be finished. You're going to hit a roadblock.
Great balls of fire.
Yes, yes, indeed. Great balls of fire, a roadblock. I'm going to show you no mercy. There's not going to be anything you can do.
If I don't finish my story, there is definitely going to be a backlash.
There's going to be backlash. I mean, I may be unforgiven in the things that happen to you. I mean, it's going to be raining down Armageddon. There's going to be bad blood. It's capital punishment, if you will.
I'll start an insurrection, but then just say it was a little tour of the Capitol.
Okay. A little rebellion. I see. I like it. You know, I mean, this story could have started your genesis into something new, but there's going to be no surrender for me because I'm going to have this title on lockdown. I threw in some TNA pay-per-views. Who else is doing this? Who else is running this game like I do? Well, come on, man. This could have been your wrestle dream, but instead it's going to be my dynasty. Hello. This is how we do it on a BC. Name another podcast that can hit you with pay-per-view names from three different promotions, three different eras. Really, maybe four different eras. You know, we hit the Attitude Era to the Ruthless Aggression, the PG. We may have just hit five different eras. We really may
have. You know, when I win, I'm going to throw a Great American Bash. Okay. And it's going to be a starcade full of people.
Okay. All right. I see what you did there, man. It's going to be World War III in this plan. Thanks. I'm playing with me for real. Let's get into this. Oh, man. Fall Brawl might be coming early, baby. It's going to be a spring stampede. Hello. All right. SmackDown, the Bloodline, and Rhodes and Rollins are all in the ring together. Rhodes says, let's take a moment to enjoy this, the four of us in this ring in this moment in time. My boy Ashley was at the American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas. He had front row seats. The man, he said it was a great time. Shout out, brother. The Rock comes out there. Kind of a twist to the music with the thunderbolts and the lightning going off. They said it was his Black Adam entrance. I was like, oh, okay.
People actually reacted to it, unlike Black Adam.
Hey. Man. I mean, this was interesting. I mean, I this was so good, bro. I took notes down. When's the last time I took notes down for a promo? Huh?
Ever. 371 episodes. Never done it.
All right. You see, Cody questions The Rock's authority because he acknowledged Roman Reigns. Let's see. Rock calls Rollins a walking clown show. The fans chant diarrhea for Diarrhea Dwayne. So I guess I got more over than we thought. Then fans chant Rocky. Rollins tells Rock, shut the hell up. Rollins says, calls him a Mr. Midlife Crisis. You had your time and you're damn sure not going to have ours. Roman calls Rollins a cross dresser. Roman tells Cody that when he loses, it's over. Rock reminds Cody and Seth that he's on the board. Rock says the 20-year age gap between Cody and his siblings is because Cody was a mistake. And then Cody, at the last second before we go off air, he slaps The Rock.
For some markets. Some other markets, apparently the slap did not happen on air. Now, we talked about this last week to where maybe they should always have their promos either at the beginning or maybe in that first to second hour gap because of things like this. They have a very hard out because the local news stations and the, you know, the affiliates and, you know, here on the West Coast, I think maybe they're able to edit some things or fit it in. But I know there was a lot of different markets that did not see the Cody slap. And that's just basically unacceptable, I think, for a company like WWE. I understand, you know, The Rock and everyone's going to like soak in. It's going to go longer normally for The Rock. segments. So
do we get them out there by 9:30 and then just let them go?
I guess, but when both of, so let's see, we had Bloodline have their own entrance, then The Rock had his own entrance, then they started off a little bit, and then Cody and Seth did their own entrance, and that was like 20 to 25 minutes of like content basically. With the commercial break thrown in there.
The whole segment itself without commercials was, what, 21 minutes or something like that? So, I don't know. Yeah, if you get them out there by 9:30 and then you start the entrances, then they're done by what? You can be done by like 9:55 and they have room to play for like 3 minutes.
Yeah, like I saw the alternate angle for like people up in the nosebleeds, kind of, and just you can see the camera people just like urging them, trying to give them the go home cue, just like tell them just hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. And you know, they were trying to culminate with that slap. And I mean, everything else was like fine. I mean, it was kind of just a segment built around Seth and Cody saying yes when we kind of knew that was going to happen.
But then, you know, Rock said, you know, this is your last chance. They haven't really made that official, like the official thing. But you know, I don't know, man. This is
I'm trying to remember what exactly Cody was talking about on Monday, but they didn't. I don't think they played that up.
No, they did not
enough.
They did or at not. All. But well, I mean, we'll talk about what happened on Monday. And there are similarities to kind of what happened in AEW. So yeah, I mean, big blockbuster segment. This was interesting, man. I mean. There are all these real life elements because, you know, Rollins has always been the guy that in storyline and in real life talking about how, you know, certain people had their time. This is our time. And, you know, Cody's he's always talking about this is our era. These are our fans. And so it just makes sense. Just makes a whole lot of sense. And I love it.
Yeah, a little disappointed in the WWE crowd in Dallas that they were chanting diarrhea. You can even see maybe on Cody's face a little bit that either he was like thrown off by it.
Yeah.
He wasn't, you know, enjoying that this actually got over. Seth and his Sethiness, you know, was loving it. So, I mean, like if you tell people to chant anything, they'll usually chant it. So I'm not surprised, but I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah. Moving on, WWE and Prime have a logo sponsorship from now on, starting at WrestleMania and all major or all PLEs. The Prime bottle logo will be center place in the middle of the ring. I mean, UFC's done this, AEW's done this, GCW does this.
AEW has done it with like DraftKings and stuff,
yeah.
But those were always in the corner. This was always in the middle.
Yeah. I mean, like GCW, they're probably the best example they've done it. I mean, Not Sam's logo's been on there. I've seen just other people's logos have been all over the mat and whatnot in the apron and stuff. So this is nothing new in wrestling. I know why people are complaining is because it's different. You know, the mat's always been clean. This has never happened before. But guys, calm down. You know, it's money. You know.
Yeah, I mean, it's money. They're gonna do their thing. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of like the logo itself, just because like do they have to make it red, white, and blue? You can just make it like a solid color. But the one thing with like the UFC and even like in New Japan is like there's so much stuff going on that it doesn't like stand out as much. So like when you just have a giant bottle in the middle of the ring, it's like your eye instantly draws to it. Even if you're like not trying to look at it, it's like it's literally in the middle, so it's like always going to be there. That's the only thing I have a little bit of an issue with, but I'll probably get over it.
They did a great job with like KSI taking that RKO like a champ, taking that RKO and then the overhead, and you can just see it clearly. So they did a good job with that. So we're moving closer to Paul versus Orton.
Yep, maybe you throw Kevin Owens. I mean, I would assume Kevin Owens gets thrown in there as like a triple threat action. You know, teasing Orton almost hitting him with with the brass rings or brass knucks, but like actual, like real life people, Kevin Owens realized it was a misunderstanding. He wasn't trying to hit them. And he was like, okay, you know, we're cool, Randy, instead of like getting angry for no reason. Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah.
Wrestlers acting like real people. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? All right. Outside the ring. Did we talk about this last week? The Bianca Belair controversy?
We did not. I mean, I don't even know exactly what the controversy is.
So, 2K posted a photo of Bianca, Rhea, and Cody as the cover stars, and then somebody was like, "Oh, you know, She only got it because she's black. You know, they needed a token, which then spawned an outpour of rage and support for Bianca Belair. Because, I mean, guys, let's be realistic. Like, she didn't get it because she's black. She got it because she's one of the top stars in the company, regardless of gender. I mean, look at the run she had. From WrestleMania 37 to now, look at the run she's been on. She's been champion the majority of the time she's been on the main roster. Like, stop.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of knew the kind of like the totality of it. I didn't know the granular details, like what really started it. And I just kind of roll my eyes. And it's like, okay, there's going to be idiots on Twitter who say like dumb stuff. And it's like, do we need to, like, I'm all for, you know, backing up your coworker and like saying, we all love you, Bianca. But it's like, do we really need to like promote, like not promote it, but just be like, they're getting to us. Like, we hear what you guys are saying. That's the only thing I kind of have like an issue, which is like, let them yell into the void, ignore them. Who cares? They're dumb. They're racist. Just ignore them.
Yeah, I don't. It just became a massive, massive thing. It really did. Yeah. All right. Moving on from that, a lot of WWE inductees in the Hall of Fame. So, the greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. He's going in. Congrats to him. The U.S. Express, Mike Rotunda, and Barry Windham are going in. The originators of having the Real American theme. By Rick Dillinger, then they left the company and it was given to Hogan, and the rest is history.
And then the Stooges took it over.
Yes, that too. Yeah, and then Thunderbolt Patterson is also going into the WWE Hall of Fame. I mean, the U.S. Express, that's a great one. I mean, they were the tag champions at the first ever WrestleMania. They lost the titles to what, Koloff and Iron Sheik. I mean, they got Iron Sheik after he had the run of with the title and the feud with Hogan. Yeah, I mean, U.S. Express, they were a great tag team, man. And then, of course, you know, Mike Rotunda, the father of Bray Wyatt, Barry Windham, his uncle. Barry Windham will now be a two-time Hall of Famer because he went in 2012 with the Four Horsemen. That's my favorite, actually, incarnation of the Four Horsemen, the one that went in 2012. So Barry Windham will now be a two-time Hall of Famer, just like Ric Flair, the only other member of the Horsemen to get a second induction. Congrats to these, excuse me. Congrats to everybody. What are your thoughts on this? These announcements?
I mean, it's a pretty loaded class, kind of like in their own special way. Kind of surprised Rotunda wasn't already in as IRS or, you know, whatever. I mean, it's the WWE Hall of Fame, as I always say. But I will say it is interesting because this is like truly the first Hall of Fame class where Triple H like gets like he's in charge of everything pretty much. And so we're seeing there's a lot of these people who are all very deserving, and he's kind of like molding his own type of identity with the Hall of Fame. So I very much enjoyed it. As you said, with Wyndham and Rotunda, I think there's a very likely possibility, because there are reports out there that maybe Wyndham Rotunda, Bray Wyatt, will be the last person possibly they'll announce on SmackDown.
Yeah, I heard a rumor that I've heard rumors that Haku was going in, and then I've heard like rumor that I think the Legacy Wing is coming back, and that The Rock's grandmother is going to be inducted for, you know, the work that she did as a promoter. So it's something's going on, man. This is a great looking Hall of Fame. I'm very excited for this, and I can't wait to see what goes on with it. Mm. Kevin Kelly fired by AEW.
Yeah, my former boy, New Japan Kevin Kelly was my boy. AEW Kevin Kelly, not so much. He just didn't seem like he was very familiar with the product, and he, whatever reason, just didn't really bring it in AEW, and then it kind of all came to a whole, came ahead like a week or two ago, where he wasn't on Collision, wasn't on Revolution, and then he went on this little Twitter tirade about Ian Riccaboni, and there's like some child trafficking documentary that's like sponsored by QAnon or something. It's just like, okay, dude, whatever. And so I guess mainly like the Twitter stuff and kind of going after his coworker were the main reasons for him being fired. But to be honest, Kevin Kelly was not that great of an announcer in AEW. So as much as I thought he was fantastic in New Japan, they're not losing much in AEW.
Was he to AEW what Jim Ross was to New Japan?
I mean, Jim Ross like brought a certain gravitas, and you know, Jim Ross had his hits and misses. But like that initial U.S. run, I thought JR and Jim Barnett were a pretty good dynamic. But
yeah,
Kevin Kelly. I mean, he I mean, he showed up and like instantly on that like first collision, he was like messing some moves up. He was like messing up like storylines and things of that nature. It's like very simple stuff that like if you just sat down and just like watched the last 4 months of television.
Well, maybe
like,
that's the problem. Maybe it was hard for him to watch.
Yeah. And I mean, they have so many people anyways. Like I get it. Like maybe you should have another person like as a play-by-play because you have Excalibur doing everything. And Rick Bonney's pretty good. Like, I think he's very talented, so he's a good backup, but yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing about AEW, man. Like, they expect you to know everything. You know, like, people criticize WWE for the constant recaps. Like, you know, this happened, you know, moments ago. This happened earlier tonight. This happened at the top of the show. And like, okay, we get it. But then, you know, they've kind of got, WWE's kind of gotten away from that. I like them to bring it back, but like, you knew what was going on. You could not say you did not know what was going on WWE TV because they constantly reminded you. So I mean, that's a good trait to have, and maybe AEW should just start doing that. A quick little video package for like these bigger moments to kind of explain what's going on. Maybe even on commentary, just you know, while they're not really you know going over big spots or they're just chaining or something. Just quick little. So this happened because of this and blah blah blah, and that's why we're here. Like just something simple, man.
There's definitely like an in-between zone from like the AEW Excalibur one where like you have to know everything. There's all these little inside jokes that we're not going to explain to you. And if you want, like what Tony said to O'Shea Jackson, like just go Google it basically. But then there's also like, you don't need to spoon feed everything. You can, you know, let things breathe and let them stand on their own. So there is kind of a middle ground there. And I do.
Wait, he told Ice Cube's son to just go Google it.
Basically, because I think it was when they were doing like that AAA run or CMLL run where there was like some luchadors what and stuff. And then O'Shea Jackson was like, I forget what the exact tweet was, but he was like, you know, who are these people and why should I care and things of that nature. And yeah.
Well, who are these people and why should we care? That's a very valid point, man. All right. Unfortunately, Paul the Butcher Vachon has passed away at 86. The brother of Mad Dog Vachon, the adoptive father of Luna Vachon, also the father-in-law of Gangrel. Had a big run, obviously, in the Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling in 1975. Was out there with guys like Wahoo McDaniel, Paul Jones, and many others. Dominated the Canadian scene in Montreal. RIP to Paul the Butcher.
Yeah, T's and P's. I mean, lived to 86, had a pretty good career, as you mapped out.
Debuted in 1957, retired in 85. It's a nice run. That's a very nice run. Let's kind of look at the championships and accomplishments here. Yeah, a lot of stuff in Canada, a lot of stuff in the Mid-South territory, NWA, Hollywood, Southwest Sports, Stampede Wrestling, obviously working with the Hearts and everything like that. So very, very nice career. All right, it's moving on. Inside the Ring, SummerSlam, Cleveland, Ohio, August 3rd. That's when this is going down.
Yeah, it seemed seemed speculated for quite a bit that SummerSlam was going to be host. Cleveland was going to host SummerSlam. Interesting, just that usually SummerSlam has been at, you know, either at a base. Well, I guess not. I guess they went to Tennessee a couple years ago, and that was an outdoor venue. So,
Rumble's really been the baseball stadiums.
Yeah, but I was thinking more just like indoor.
Yeah.
Like indoor arena or indoor like stadiums kind of. So, you know, them going to Cleveland during the summer. I don't know. Never been to Cleveland. I would assume it's pretty nice there, out there by the lake.
Warm. Yeah.
So, you know, shouldn't be any weather issues to speak of. So, you know, it's a different venue. And I kind of appreciate that because, you know, we kind of get into the rut of going to like a lot of the same place all the time. Cleveland hasn't, I think, what did they host? 96 or 9. They hosted a SummerSlam in the 90s. And so it's kind of been a while since they've had like a kind of a major event like this.
You've never been to Cleveland?
Unfortunately, I have not. I've never been to the Midwest, basically. Oh, no, I guess I went. I mean, I went to Chicago in 2021, but besides that.
What was it? The first time the Warriors beat the Cavs, I was in Cleveland. I remember that. I was like, I was a stupid kid. I was like, Warriors! I don't watch basketball at all. This guy looked at my cousin and I. He was pissed. He was wearing a LeBron jersey. I pointed at my cousin so fast, man. Good times. Good times. Anyway, moving on from that. Maxine Dupri getting booed. Yeah, this has kind of been a thing that's been going around. on the internet. You know, I tried to find the clip of her getting booed and all these other things, or well, the match and what happened. And then
I believe it was, you know, she's been on a house show loop, I think, with Nia Jax recently.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
there's a clip of her like walking to the back and like people are booing her, and you hear one person audibly saying like, "You suck, Maxine." And you know, there's been some people coming to defense, and then now they basically made a canon with Candice LeRae.
The storyline, yeah.
Or should
yeah.
I say Christian LeRae?
What?
She talked about her dead brother.
Wow. Mm. Wait, talk about Candace's dead brother?
No, Maxine's dead brother.
Okay. Yeah.
Come on, watch product.
I heard dead brother, but then you said Christian LeRae. So I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, she's turned into Christian LeRae. She's going to go after dead people's relatives or people's dead relatives.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't get that reference.
Anyways.
Anyway, yeah. Oh, okay.
There we go. It finally clicked for him.
Yeah, it did.
He got it.
It did. I just woke up. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I've always said this, man. If you have never done this, who are you to criticize? Who are you to criticize the in-ring work, bruh? Come out here and do some forward rolls, some O'Connors, some shoulder rolls. I've watched so many people quit off of just rolls alone before you even get to bumping and running the ropes and all this other stuff. Stop, 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 stop. I've always been like that, man. Like, I can't criticize professional swimming because I've never done that. So I'm not going to criticize somebody's breaststroke. You know what I'm saying?
Now, as the ignorant wrestling fan who's never stepped foot inside a ring to wrestle, I will say, you know, Maxine, like, honestly, Maxine is not at the level to be wrestling on national television on a weekly basis. But that's also why you do house show loops and you wrestle and you train and, you know, practice things like that. And she's like, what they said, like her first match was like in like September. And like her gimmick is technically like to be bad at wrestling. But there is like, as a fan, you are paying your money to watch this person do their profession and you have a expectation. Now, I don't know what the match looked like, but I can only judge what I've seen on television. I'll be honest, it doesn't look good. But there is a line where you don't like take it to that next level. And like, I can criticize her and be like, I don't think she's doing a great job wrestling, but you don't be like, you suck. Why are you here? You don't deserve to be here. Blah, blah, blah. Like there's that fine line to where you can criticize someone's work, but you like, just don't take it to the next level and like, get personal with, like, you can say you suck, you know, you're terrible or whatever, but then it's like, you know, just get out of here. You don't deserve to be here. That's when it's like, okay, let's just settle down. And WWE hasn't like put her in a position to like, not in a protected position. Like, they've thrown her out there and like trying to do these moves and trying to do these things that like she is definitely not equipped to do right now. So it's like WWE has not put Maxine in the best situation either.
I don't know if she's not equipped to do them. I just, maybe, you know, they're saving certain things for, you know, for how this storyline progresses. You know what I'm saying? So we got to wait and see, man. That's the nature of this beast. But yeah, they are putting that is kind of her character. Like, she's learning, you know, how to do this on TV and everything. I mean, she talked about that in the interview with Chris Van Vliet, which go watch that because that was an amazing interview. Also, the Dennis Richmond Invitational, Oasis Pro and West Coast are coming together to put on a tournament June 29th at Gilman Brewery, Berkeley, California. This is big, man. This is big. The biggest shark in the water wants to come collab with Oasis, man. This is something special. Will you be at this tournament, Brandon?
Is there a date? When is this?
June 29th.
Check my schedule off the top. Might pull through.
Yeah. I believe the winner gets the West Coast Cup. I believe that's what goes on here. So big moves. Big moves are being made. Also, today is the 20-year anniversary of WrestleMania 20.
Oh, Phillip, I'm getting old.
Yes, 20 years. Where does it rank amongst the best manias of all time? We didn't do a Mania Madness for the biggest WrestleMania of all time.
Oh, he remembered. He remembered, ladies and gentlemen. I was hoping he'd forget.
No, we're too.
I mean, we're kind of. I'm be honest. I'm kind of running out of ideas at this point.
I mean, we did best WrestleMania. We did main events. We did what? Did we do openers at one point?
We might have done entrances.
We might have done that. Can we want attires?
I don't know. I don't know what the hell we done, but I mean, WrestleMania 20 has a special place in my heart. If you guys remember, it's the first pay per view, let alone first WrestleMania I ever saw live. So, I'm definitely. I love this pay per view. Unfortunately, it has been kind of marred with the deaths of obviously Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero. So it's kind of like the forgotten WrestleMania. And there's like some other hidden things.
We remember.
There's, you know, there's some hidden things in there as well. Like, you know, the debacle of Goldberg and Lesnar and the return of the Dead Man Undertaker and John Cena's kind of not culmination. Yeah, not the, you know, John Cena in like his first big match against the Big Show. And so it's a very good WrestleMania coming off the heels of 19, which I think was voted for Mania Madness is the best WrestleMania of all time. So I will always love it. And it does kind of hit me in the heart. They're like, oh man, I have been watching wrestling for like 22 years now. I know, you know, Mr. X or other people out there, they've probably been watching twice as long as I have or whatever, but 22 years now, or 20 years for this WrestleMania, which is like big milestone for you boys.
Chris Benoit.
An Ultimo Dragon like falling over his cape or something.
That also. All right, no fan. Let's get into Monday Night Raw. Cody Rhodes vows to beat Roman Reigns. He says he cannot put the title in his father's hands, but he can put it in his mother's hands. He says he's doing this for his family, you know, for his sister, his mother, his wife, his daughter. He says, Michael Cole, at WrestleMania 40, you can say that I get to finish the story. Cody also says, Roman, we are no longer in the third inning. We are in the final inning. Are we in the bottom of the ninth? Are we in the bottom of the ninth? Bro, I think we might be in the bottom of the fifth, if you ask me. We're not done yet. Well, we're not done yet, boys.
I would say, if we are in baseball terms, which, you know, your boy loves his baseball, I'd say it's the top of the ninth, two outs.
No, I don't think we're in the top of the ninth, man.
The closer's warming up. They're getting ready to play his theme song.
We might be in the middle of the sixth. I won't say that.
I think the closer might come out to some downstate. And lights are going to go out, and it's over.
I heard this idea on Cheap Heat, but so I'm gonna kind of put it my own little spin on it. You remember WrestleMania 28 when in Machine Gun Kelly performed, and then Cena came out, and then Flo Rida performed, and then Rock came out. What if Meek Mill, Philadelphia, Dreams and Nightmares, and then Cody walks out?
Well, I think there's like 60,000 people who paid to sing Kingdom.
I'm saying, what you call it? Meek Mill performs Dreams and Nightmares, and then wrestling. Yeah.
And then who does Roman have to play? Some
Roman,
like
Roman gets another grand piano intro. Yo, he gets somebody playing the harp this time. Really classic.
I was going to be like someone from like New York or something just to trash Philly.
That's a possibility. But I mean, what do you think about that? Huh?
I mean, once again, 28 has like another kind of special place in my heart as well. And I saw a video pack of just kind of like the match graphic where they had the WrestleMania 28 theme song in the background. And I was getting some nostalgia feels. So I mean, if they want to do something like that, that'd be different. I just don't know how much Meek Mill and Cody Rhodes crossover there is.
Well, I mean, Snoop Dogg literally remixed a song. Does it matter? it's the guy who's the son of the American Dream who promoted himself as the American Nightmare, trying to finish the dream of his father in the city of brotherly love. It just all makes sense. It all makes sense.
I do see on like TikToks and things where like a lot of people want like Dusty Rhodes theme song opening to start, and then that transitions into Kingdom. I don't know if they do something like that, but I mean, they really played into the Dusty Rhodes aspect of it here.
Bro, I know Cody was crying. So this is what I want to talk about. This is what I want to talk about. So, you know, Rock mentioned that you're not going to get another shot. They kind of did that in AEW. You're not going to get another shot. And then Cody cut that emotional promo where he was crying and, you know, and talked about his mother. Is history going to repeat itself and him not win? But I cannot see Roman Reigns without the WWE title. I just can't. But do you know how long this has been? No, do you truly know? I'm 28 now. You can rent a car at 25.
We were in quarantine when we were in quarantine when this happened.
Listen, I was not old enough to rent a car when Roman Reigns won this championship. Let's really think about that. This has been almost four years.
Still had aspirational dreams. I was going to use my diploma for something useful.
I mean, like, it's been four years, man. Like, I was in what 24. You're what, still kind of early 20s, starting your mid 20s. I'm at the end of my 20s now. That's how long Roman Reigns has been the champion. I can't see it. I cannot see this man losing this championship. Him without the title. What does WWE look like without Roman Reigns as the champion?
We're going to have to find out.
It's mind-boggling. It really is. Speaking of championships, the World Heavyweight Champion is out there with his challenger, Drew McIntyre. And Seth tells Drew he's worried about him the least. Drew McIntyre is taking this title. If we are getting a world title change, it is Drew McIntyre beating Seth Rollins to become the World Heavyweight Champion. He's going to claymore that boy's head off.
I think they've done just a phenomenal job with this storyline. Drew's fantastic. I saw he just sat here on TikTok now, just cutting promos, just like making a protein shake while like talking trash to Seth. Drew is doing a lot of the heavy, I mean, like similar to what Cody is doing in his storyline, where he's doing a lot of the heavy lifting because of the Rock stuff. Drew is doing a lot of the heavy lifting in this storyline while Seth is kind of off doing his thing with Seth and the Bloodline. So I thought it was a fun dynamic now that, you know, I mean, we got this, 2 weeks ago in San Jose where they were both in the ring. So now we kind of get it again. But yeah.
Yeah. Seth says Drew reminds him of CM Punk. You know, he thought Punk was the biggest hypocrite, but now, you know, looking at Drew. So, I mean, just it's good stuff that's going on. It really is.
CM Punk coming back to Chicago in a couple weeks. Speculated,
yes.
Maybe special guest ref, maybe commentator or something. Is going to be involved at WrestleMania other than a pre-show panel?
I'd like to see CM Punk on commentary, you know, from one Phil to another on commentary. He's one of the best. Nia Jax versus Becky Lynch, last man standing, is made official for next week. This is going to kind of be the end of their feud. It's been a nice little TV feud. I've enjoyed it. Becky beat Liv earlier on in the night. They were backstage, and then Nia attacks them. I like this.
Yeah, you know, kind of discuss that they're giving Becky kind of like these offshoot things to do before she really ramps it up and faces Rhea. Rhea just kind of been hanging out in the background, which I don't know what their motivations are behind that, but I think it's just, you know, let Becky do something now, and then once she's done with Nia this week or next week, then what, we're 2 weeks away? So that can be kind of like the storyline that gets a lot of the build, because, you know, the men's matches have gotten a lot of promo time, and kind of like, you know, WrestleMania time, like kind of that 2 weeks out, we're kind of week before, we're kind of like over it. Do we just want the show to start? So with this one, we're getting a little bit later build.
We've only got like what, 6 matches announced for 2 days. We have the 2 women's titles matches, the 2 men's titles matches, the Bloodline tag match.
Let's see,
that's 5.
Let's check the old Wikipedia. See what
and then
got going
we
on.
We have the multi man tag title match, and now the IC title. So we have 7 matches announced for 2 days.
Yeah, Bloodline, whatever, Seth, Drew, Roman, Cody, official for night 2, and then we don't know the other 4 matches. Presumably, U.S. title triple threat.
Yes, okay.
With, Paul Orton and KO.
LA Knight and AJ.
LA Knight, yeah, LA Knight and AJ is probably going to do something. I think Bianca has to get involved some which way. Kind of
What's Nia doing? Well, like, what's Nia? They put all this work into her. She can't just, like, be in a multi-woman match. What's Jade doing? Has Jade just come out the go home Raw and challenge Nia Jax to a match at WrestleMania? Does she do that to Bianca on the go home? Like, what's going on?
If WWE is not super confident in Jade's in ring, I could see her maybe being like an enforcer, kind of like the backup for Bayley, especially because we did see her in a little backstage confrontation with Damage Control a few weeks ago. So maybe, you know, dropping a seed there where, you know, it's 4-on-1 Bayley. How is she gonna even the odds and kind of ensure she has a fair shot? And then Jade comes out to kind of evens it up. So maybe that's where they get Jade. They get her involved, but not in a full fledged match. You know, the Andre Battle Royals, you know, on both sides, you know, what, last year they had the men's, they have a men's and a women's one. Yeah, they, I know, because they just trotted Bobby Lashley out there to do his pose with a trophy, and that was it.
Because, I mean, now given what we know about Bray, that's why that happened.
I'm just trying to go down the list. I mean, yeah, Sammy Gunther, we already have that announced. I mean, there's probably going to be some sort of like...
Oh, Jimmy J, what are we talking about?
Yeah, Jimmy J, that's going to be something, you know, some sort of probably... Yeah. Multi-team, probably some multi-team tag match for the women's thing.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. Jay has challenged his brother Jimmy to a WrestleMania match, brother versus brother. This happens every 15 years. WrestleMania 10, it was Bret and Owen. 25, it was Jeff and Matt. Now 40, it's Jay and Jimmy.
There we go. Who's a, who's an up-and-coming brother team for
the WrestleMania The Creed brothers 55? In 15 years.
There we go.
There you go. Or maybe a Devon's boys when they join the business, you know. Or maybe another set of Anoa'i twins. You know, you never know. You never know. But, yeah, man, Jimmy versus Jay, that's going to be a special one, man. I can't wait for that. Man, Philly's about to go crazy. When could you imagine 80,000 people hitting the up-down with Jay, bro? That's about to go crazy, bro. Oh, I'm excited. I love it. And then Sami Zayn outlasts them all. To get Gunther at WrestleMania. I'm heartbroken for Chad Gable, man.
People are saying that Chad Gable's shoulders were on the mat, so maybe they're going to thrust him into a triple threat. I don't think so.
I don't think that's going to happen.
It's going to be Gunther, Sammy 101. I'm very intrigued by this because they can go two different ways. Well, obviously, you know, Cody or Seth, pause. Sammy could win or Gunther could win, but Sammy could either be kind of the jovial babyface who finally did it, but that's kind of taking Cody's story, or he loses it, snaps, turns heel, goes kind of crazy, cuckoo, Joker-esque, and then maybe you kind of build him up to be a heel against Cody, which I think it's going to be good either way.
I don't think Sammy defeats Gunther, Damian Priest cashes in on him.
He's almost a month away from being the longest Money in the Bank person ever, and you're going to wait all this time just to cash in on the IC title?
Well, bro,
and not even against the guy who held it for 2 years.
Let's really look at it. Drew needs to beat Seth. He needs to walk away as the world heavyweight champion. Do they have Cody beat Roman Reigns and then him get cashed in on to end WrestleMania? Do they do that? Does Triple H have that in the tank?
I mean, it'd be ballsy. You give Cody his moment. You know. Set off 150 grand worth of fireworks in the Philadelphia night sky, and then just out of nowhere, Damian Priest comes out, cashes in, and we're off to the races again, where Cody's on the chase. And, you know, for the most part, baby faces are better on the chase than as champions. But, I mean, we've already gone down this road before with Cody, and it's like, do you really want to keep – it's like the Daniel Bryan thing. You keep pulling it away. You're not giving the people exactly what they want, and then finally, you know, it's not the same once you finally give it to them in full.
With Cody, I don't know how it happened, but he became an even bigger star off the loss to Roman. Could they do it again? Could they really do it again? Let's say Roman walks out the champion. Can Cody become an even bigger star again off of this loss?
There's a possibility. Like, check the tape last year. I probably was saying I disagreed with it. You should have had Cody win, but we're here today. Cody is a bigger star. The match means a lot more because he lost last year and the storyline that goes on beyond behind that.
I mean, bro, you were at Raw in San Jose. It's loud when he's out there. You cannot deny that. He literally went from undesirable to undeniable. I mean, it is, that reaction is unbelievable. He might be more over than Cena was because Cena, they turned on him very early. It wasn't even a year of Cena being on top before they turned on him.
I would say the people who, like the kids, loved Cena.
But Cody is universally loved.
Die Hard loved him. But then, as you said, I agree. Cody is a much more universal. Everybody,
grown men, women,
everybody
children.
Really likes him, and yes. Some people love him.
Yes. I love Cody Rhodes. I mean, you know that, bro. We've gone all these APW shows, and we got to talk to him. I love that dude. I really do. Great guy. I just can't see Roman losing his title.
And I think this has been a positive of the Triple H regime of having these longer title reigns. And you just look at him and you look at Gunther and even Rhea Ripley. Like, you're seeing these long title reigns. It's going to mean something when they lose.
But then, like, again, it's been too many long title runs.
I mean, U.S. title, it's been relatively short. You know, tag teams kind of bounced around a little bit.
Speaking of tag team, multi-team ladder match, WrestleMania 40. I would have preferred to see Awesome Truth to go up against Judgment Day one-on-one and just beat them. I would have preferred to see that.
Now we're getting Awesome Truth taking on Veer and Shanky. Main event anywhere.
Is Shanky still dancing?
I don't think so.
Oh, no. Anyway, let's get into AEW Dynamite. Big Business, which is the name of our episode. Mercedes Moné has arrived in AEW. Money. The CEO is in Boston.
New theme song. It's reminiscent of Walter. I forget what the actual, you know, technical name of it is, but it has that kind of backdrop instead of the old crisscross sample she had back in New Japan.
I like the New Japan one better. I'm not going to lie. You see Naomi, Bayley, and Tamina were there to support their girl, which is fantastic. You love to see it. I'm happy for her, you know. People have already started to turn, which the internet is wild. Look, guys, she's happy, you know. Let's see what she does. I mean, this is their biggest female signing really ever. Let's see what happens here. Let's truly see.
Agree. I thought she came across like a star. I was a little skeptical of how she would come across in Boston, just because I don't really see her in that city. Like, as you know, everyone's comparing this to CM Punk's return. It wasn't CM Punk's return. It was never going to be CM Punk's return. Yeah. But I thought she came across very well. She came across as a star. She felt like she, you know, belonged in this spot. She looked like she was having a lot of fun, you know, emotional, but not kind of over the top emotional. I was kind of scared she was going to start breaking down and crying, but I thought it was a good debut. Now, on the other hand, I'm not as sold on her as like a full blown star that can, you know, sell a lot of tickets and really move business. But in that women's division, they need a top person, and she definitely is that.
I mean, what was the, like, the, what they had, like, 9,200 tickets out or something like that for this?
Yeah, I mean, I put the line when it originally was at 10,500. Probably was a little high, to be honest. But, you know, for the most part, they were all kind of chugging along, like, 6, 7, 8,000. And then, I don't know if this is legit or not, but then when she posted, like, Boston or whatever yesterday, apparently that moved some tickets, which I don't know how. Like, how did you go this entire time not think she was going to debut? But allegedly she moved some tickets, and the crowd looked very well. It looked well lit. It looked great. I mean, obviously compared to like these 2,000 to 3,000 venues they've been drawing recently. So, I mean, especially now with like eight, with WWE, how hot it is, and they're selling out every single show, and they do such a fantastic job of just showcasing a full 18,000, 16,000 filled stadium or arena. It's just night and day with AEW. So it was nice to see they actually drew somewhat of a good crowd.
Yes. Samoa Joe defeated Wardlow to retain the AEW heavyweight title. Swerve is coming after that boy. At AEW Dynasty, just do it, bro. Do it. Put the title on Swerve.
Possibly. I mean, I know they're kind of, they got a lot of stars right now. Ospreay, Okada. We're going to have to see what they're going to do with him. But I think you give it to Swerve, see what he can do with it. And, you know, I've said, just, you know, you don't need to give the title to everyone, but then there's some times where you just see what they do with it. Give them the ball and see what they can do. Because at this point, AEW doesn't have like a top tier star making singles guy. I mean, Ospreay, I think, is going to be that guy eventually, but just not right now. And so you kind of give it a swerve, see what you can do with it for a couple months. And
here we go with the Ospreay talk.
Maybe you call an audible, but maybe you know, have Ospreay win it at Wembley. But match itself was good. You know, Joe choked out Wardlow, which protects him a little bit. But once again, Wardlow gets his kind of push of the year, and then he just ends up losing. And
Wardlow, come on over to Stanford, brother. Come on. Just come on. All right, the Elite defeat Kingston, Pac, and Penta. My boy Okada, bro. That boy Kazuchika.
I mean, really, you know, athletic, fast-paced, six-man tag, as you'd expect in this one. Okada spoke a little bit of English, you know, a little bit on the comedy side, telling Alex Marvez to sing happy birthday to Matthew. And now next week, because Okada pinned Kingston, he's defending only only the AEW Continental Championship. So just the one title, not the ROH or the New Japan title, which forecasts that Okada's winning this thing. And it's
wait a second. The Continental title was supposed to absorb all three of those titles into one. So why would you defend them separate? That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, I mean, he's defended against Danielson and some other people. No, and it's always been all three. And now they're going out and saying it's just one.
What the fuck is the point? What was the point? What was the point of the tournament then? That this is what I'm talking about, bro.
Well, I think what they would say, which I think is probably logical, is like the championship is the tournament was for that one championship. And then Kingston went and was like, all right, I'm going to defend against, I'm going to throw my belts into all of them.
They literally molded it after how they got the All Japan Triple Crown title. Once all those three titles were molded into the one title, they didn't say, okay, well, the Pacific title, I can defend here. No, it was all one. It was all one title. That was the point of the thing, to pay homage to All Japan and to, you know, mold all these titles into one. That was the point of it. So if you're not going to do that, then what was the point? It's like if Oasis, West Coast, and UGWA, if they, you know, had a tournament and the winner walks out with a title that represents all three companies, and then you say, well, you know what? I have this title that represents all three companies, but I'm going to go defend the UGWA title today. I'm like, what? No, that title's absorbed into this title, so that doesn't make sense. It's like Roman Reigns is walking around as the Undisputed Universal WWE Champion, right? No, listen.
He's walking around as the Undisputed
WWE Universal Champion, right? Roman Reigns isn't out here just defending the blue title for the hell of it. No, that title got absorbed into this championship. It's won. Like, what are we doing here? What is going on?
I mean, I kind of rolled my eyes at that as well. And like, as you said, go back to like the three promotion thing. As this is literally three promotions, even though ROH and AEW kind of rolled into one. But you have the, you know, Oasis, UGWA, West Coast Championship. And then you have like clearly the top person, a superstar that you know this other person probably isn't going to beat. And so instead of, defending all three of them, because that guy is not going to go to the other promotions, you just defend the UGWA championship at this against this one guy. And so it just telegraphs that, okay, he's losing. He's going to lose that one title because why wouldn't he just put all three of them up? So it's just, and then now you go to the other thing of now, Okada is going to have this lowest level championship that no one cares about. It's like literally like just a token to throw on top of Kingston's other two titles. And it's just whatever. Hopefully just like Okada, melts it down into like a ring or something.
I haven't gotten this mad in a while. And Jesus, Jay White defeats Darby Allin. And then didn't Billy Gunn get attacked?
Yes. Jay White beats Darby Allin, possibly Darby Allin's last match. Tease a piece. Hopefully everything goes well at Mount Everest. And no more bang bang scissor gang.
Bang scissor gang.
White and the Guns went to go attack Darby. Then the Acclaim makes the save, and then of course Billy Gunn has to be the star of everything in the middle of all this. And Jay White turns.
Well, yeah, his sons are with the Bullet Club Gold. It's fine. What happened to the Acclaim, bro? They were over like Rover. What happened?
And now you got Max Caster out here just doing some. He's tweeting out some suspect things, and then he's saying he's hacked, but then he says he agreed with everything the hacker said. He's out here tweeting pictures of Sammy Guevara the same day Mercedes Moné is making her debut. And if you guys remember what Sammy Guevara said about...
Right, and he's suspended. Monet. When he comes back, that's going to be... Wow. Does that AEW reality show still happen? I'm going to need to see that.
Nope. They fulfilled their contract that they had from Road to the Top, and they were like, all right, that's enough, we're done.
Have you learned anything from Total Divas? Capitalize on the reality television.
Yeah, have a multi-person tag team match
with Willow defeats Rio. I forgot Rio was even with the company. I've been watching the other Rio, the African-American one from the UK. She's fantastic.
Yeah, you know, every year we get like the month run of Riho matches that are always really good, and then she like wins 75% of them, and then she loses her last one. And this is basically just a vessel to have Moné come back at the end of the show. You know, obviously with Willow breaking her ankle and winning the title, they're probably going to go in that direction. So yeah, you know, Julia Hart and Sky Blue attack Willow. Mercedes makes a save. They break it up. She stands in the middle of the ring, fade to black. There it is.
Yeah, Evan T. Back, he has an interview out with Mercedes that dropped a couple days ago, obviously before her debut. So go check that out. Evan T. Back is one of my homies. Yeah.
I do wonder from like a political standpoint, like how does this Mercedes thing ends up with AEW? Because I do not think it was a coincidence that a women's match main evented this show. Like I don't know if that was Tony's prerogative or like Mercedes is like, look, you're gonna have me make the women's. I'm gonna show up again. Make the women's be the main event.
You can't just have people be like, okay, no, this has to be the main event. You can't have run your show, bro.
And then also, you know, Britt Baker is not here right now. And then once she shows, up, that backstage dynamic between Britt Baker and Monet is going to be very interesting.
Oh my God. Can I get Mercedes Monet versus Thunder Rosa real quick? I'm gonna need to see that.
I mean, there's like the thing is like the women's division gets so much flack in AEW, but there is a lot of good talent there. Like, yes, Britt Baker and Sammy or Jamie Hayter are kind of out injured right now, but like as you said, Thunder Rosa, like she must have pissed off Tony or somebody because like she came back after being gone for so long and she's just wallowing away at Collision.
Yeah, there's some things about that.
She's like the female version of Miro, it seems like.
Miro and Lana are apparently getting divorced.
T's and P's. I mean, after she is just love not real?
After she went through all that with her finger and whatnot.
Is marriage a scam?
Jesus. It's okay. It'll be all right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Ugwa 316, Blood, Sweat, and Beers this Saturday. Narrative Fermentations, 6 p.m., 5 p.m. are the doors. I'm going to need y'all to pull up to this one. Your boy's on the call as usual. We got a lot of great matches, man. Jordan Cruz versus Mike Rain. You have Alex Ace and Nick Zander going up against the world's freshest tag team. You have Brooke Havoc and Christina Von Erie taking on the graveyard shift for the tag titles. You have Richie Coy versus Kenny K. Damn, bro. Dave Dutra versus Anton Voorhees. Two legends of this scene. First time ever. Come on, bro. Dark Sheik versus Jin Savani for the San Jose Championship. I mean, all that and more. Plus, I think you got like a fatal four-way for the Beast of the East title. I mean, like, come on, man. Like, this is about to pop off. It's about to be something special. And shout out to my boy, the crazy Cajun, the Gator Man, Jaya Jewel. It is announced he is going to be going to Japan. I love you, brother. Shout out, man. Go get a roll to the world, man. Thank you guys so much. We've got a special 316 episode coming out in a couple days. Make sure to tune in.
So excited. It'd be a shame if something were to happen to me when I couldn't make that show.
Yes, something. You
be a real shame. You guys know how much I love Stone Cold Steve Austin. I cannot wait for that show.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you guys so much. As always, be safe and stay dangerous. Yes, sir.
This has been the Bulletcast. Thank you for listening.